Italy moves away from austerity and investors are okay with it.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. 2 months of political stalemate in Italy look like they are finally coming to an end. Enrico Letta from the center-left Democratic Party has been nominated to be the country's next prime minister and is trying to form a new government. Letta has announced he wants to fight against austerity in Europe. And the amazing part is investors are eating it up. From the Marketplace European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
Since the Eurozone debt crisis began, investors have demanded that heavily indebted countries tame their public finances. They've punished wayward governments by driving up their borrowing costs. Creditor countries, led by Germany, demanded deep cuts in public spending. But the tide against this austerity has clearly turned. Now, with Italy, investors see low growth as the primary problem. Analyst Simon Tilford says investors are now more likely to reward a government that stimulates growth and punish one that cuts.
See, all investors are worried about is whether they're going to get their money back. Now, if they think they're not going to get their money back because an economy is performing so poorly that it's not going to be able to pay its debts, then they're going to charge more to lend to that country.
The pressure to lighten up on the austerity in Europe seems likely to grow, not least in Spain, where unemployment has just hit 27.2%, and critics argue austerity is largely to blame. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The tragic building collapse in Bangladesh has claimed the lives of at least 194 workers. It happened yesterday in a building that housed a number of factories that make clothes for brands all around the world. Police had warned about a crack in the building the day before its collapse, but apparently those warnings were largely ignored. Well, here in this country, earnings season continues today with reports from ExxonMobil, Amazon, and Coca-Cola. So far, the companies we've heard from have been telling us mostly good things, but Alan Sloan is not buying it. He's senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine, and he's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So you're a little skeptical when you see earnings reports.
Well, sure, because one of the things I look at or try to figure out is how many tax games the companies, especially the U.S. multinational companies, are playing.
What do you mean, tax games?
Well, let's see. What you do is you set up some subsidiary overseas that owns the rights to the products you sell in the United States. You make very large tax-deductible payments to this thing, which is in some tax haven. You do this, you do that. You tell the shareholders you're making a ton of money in this country or that country. And you tell the taxing authorities you're either barely breaking even or losing your behind.
So if you're operating in a number of countries, you can selectively say where you're making and losing money so that you pay the least taxes.
Well, to a point. You know, there are limits, though. I don't know what they are. But if you look at what's going on, you see these games get played all the time, both for earnings purposes and for tax purposes.
And you point to Apple as an example of taking that even further.
Right. Their announcement the other day that we're putting our cash to work and we're going to raise our dividend and buy back all of the stock. People are saying, gee, they're putting their money to work. Well, actually, they really aren't, because most of their cash, more than two-thirds of it, is overseas, and if they bring it back, they have to pay a tax. So what they're doing is borrowing in the United States, where the interest is tax-deductible to them, and using the borrowed money to buy back stock and to increase the dividend. So they're not really bringing back the cash. They're just indirectly borrowing against it at the expense of American taxpayers.
And all this sounds kind of sneaky and clever, but really there's not necessarily anything wrong with it.
Well, there's nothing illegal about it.
Right.
I think there's something wrong with it, but that's a whole morality thing, and this isn't a morals show. I don't have to like it. You don't have to like it, but that's how it is.
Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine, thanks as always.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.6% in Tokyo, down 0.1% right now in London and Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 43 points to close at 14,676.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Today is Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day, the day many parents bring their young kids to the office to show them what the working world is like. As Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports, the day used to focus just on daughters, but not anymore.
Take Our Daughters to Work Day was founded in 1993 by Gloria Steinem and the Ms. Foundation for Women. Marie Wilson was president of the Ms. Foundation at the time.
The effects were explosive. First of all, the visibility of girls in the workplace showed up the invisibility of adult women.
Still, many critics say girls no longer need to be singled out. After all, women now make up half the American workforce. Susan Heathfield is a human resources expert.
It's becoming a little archaic. My personal preference would be to take your child to work day.
In fact, the day's official title was changed in 2003. It's now Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. Still, Ms. Foundation's Marie Wilson says a day that focuses on women's role in the workplace is still relevant.
Women are still far behind in leadership in every area.
American women hold fewer than 20% of those jobs and are paid just 77 cents for every dollar a man makes. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, to a 22-year-old in the UK named Seb Smith, who has just landed what sounds like the best summer job ever. He's going to be traveling all over the world testing water slides. According to the Daily Mail, he'll be judging the slides based on the size of the splash and the adrenaline rush he gets. He will make $34,000 a year. Smith will replace a 33-year-old named Tommy Lynch, who is retiring after 4 years with the company. And he better have a good reason for retiring. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.